Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Paul share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Thank you very much. Green Diva Meg's in the house. Actually, we've got a couple of Green Diva Megs in the house today. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
And officially, Green Dude Paul.
It's official.
It's official.
It's a shame because I changed my name to Scott this week, so now you're going to have to switch it back.
I know.
And now this week we're going to be all Megans, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's
because
right.
Because we have in the studio...
Green Diva Grassroots Meg?
Yeah, there
all
you go.
Right.
All
very
right.
Cool.
Our guest Green Diva today is Megan Van Dyke, who is the editor of the Grassroots section of the Daily Record. Our loyal local... newspaper. Blah, 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 blah. Here, I need more coffee. Wait a minute. Lisa, you talk for a minute.
All right. Well, we are very proud of the Grassroots section. It really tunes us in. It's a big section every Thursday, and it tunes us into things that are going on that are relevant to not just the region, but, you know, speak to things that any community can be doing. So
well,
I'm really very proud of it.
Thank you for saving me while I was tongue-tied.
Not during...
Megan is here to kick off. We're going to be doing a weekly 5-minute segment called Getting Local with the Green Divas.
Wherever you are.
Yeah. That's it. Wherever you are. Because we are so excited about what's going on locally right where we are.
Lots of hot stuff.
And there is. And Paul and Megan are both in the middle of so much of it. I can get so, over the years, I've gotten very involved in things going on nationally, and I really want to be able to highlight what's going on right here in my backyard.
Well,
but we believe so much in local and supporting local, but that we can share what we're doing and help other communities, and we want to learn. We also want to learn. Lisa's got something.
Our podcasts get out to, you know, a potential 40 million eyes and ears, and so what we're doing here in this Jersey region can really resonate and maybe come up, help some folks in different regions around the country and world.
Well, yeah, and I think it is amazing how green we are in Jersey for all the crap we take about the turnpike, right?
It is the Garden State. If you get away from the turnpike, it is the Garden State. And I'm just back here from Austin. I've been living in Austin for 8 or 9 years, and I've been driving. I help out with a friend of mine's mom, and we go driving. I've been out to Long Valley now. I've gone all the way up to the Water Gap, and I'm just... so reinvigorated by this region and all of its green.
So every week, I try to read the Grassroots section, and either I get the paper or I read it online and get caught up, and I'm always so impressed with. There's always somebody I've never really heard of that's really got something inspiring. I like the I Believe.
That's because there's so much going on in the county, you know. Green Diva Lisa, like you said, out in Long Valley in the farm country of Morris County, but also in Morristown, mm-hmm. where, you know, there's this great community of people who just want to make the community a better place.
Yahoo!
So that's our job, to highlight them.
Yeah, and you're doing such a good job.
Yeah, and I think, as we spoke to earlier, the opportunity to share our learnings and successes with people around the country and around the world are really critical to us getting the critical mass and momentum we need. One community doing everything right is not going to be enough to redirect us and make up for us having been so far off path.
Well, that brings up the topic of collaboration, you know? Mm-hmm. And we had a discussion this week about how the green community is changing the culture, you know, from the corporate that used to be so competitive, right? But those of us that are in the green thing tend to be collaborators.
Well, it's a new culture, like you said. It helps if you're doing well and your neighbor's doing well, then your community can do well.
Right.
So in a corporate relationship, it's okay to support each other instead of just compete with each other.
Yeah.
You know,
So in that way, what I was thinking is people are more and more interested in sharing. And now with all this new electronic platforms, it's really easy for Morristown, the community of Morristown, to get connected to a community in, you know, Nevada that's like really interested in what you're doing with some, you know, local food exchange thing or whatever, you know.
Well, like you said, like you coined, Meg, that would be GD Meg. Local is the new organic.
I think so. I really believe that is what. No, Paul has given us big no, no.
So we've talked about that one before.
I didn't get that right.
No, I mean, local is great. And certainly you lower, you know, as it relates to food, you lower the greenhouse gas impacts of food miles traveled and things. But there's still, you know, putting chemicals on food and using chemicals in agriculture, I'm not sure I want that being done in my local community any more than I want it done anywhere else.
So, that's not really what I mean.
No, that's not what it means. Yeah. I think
all I mean is that in terms of trends.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can have it all.
I think organic is becoming a standard now, much more so. And so anyway, I just certainly more accessible. Yeah. No, yeah. My meaning of that is just that in terms of trends.
Okay.
You're talking about trends.
I'll sit back down.
No, bring it up. But I think as trends go, I think what's happening is, you know, that we have talked about how organic is problematic in terms of regulations and things like that. But there's something else that I think is starting to surface in terms of growing locally without pesticides and without all of that that haven't met the organic regulation.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think we're about to reinvent what
all of that
means.
Well, there's a lot of farms transitioning, I think, and I don't know. And I wasn't just talking about food. I mean,
no,
in my
I wasn't
mind,
either.
When I think of locals, the new organic, I just think in terms of being aware that we have to support our local communities in so many ways. And anyway.
Like the slow money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, speaking of that, let's just go run through a little bit of what we've got going on today. We have a Sleeping Naked is Green segment on No More Bottled Water.
Well, there's an hour-long show.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that is going to be a whole show later.
Oddly enough, we've never really touched on that topic for Sleeping Naked is Green, which is like a speed 5 minutes, you know, like speed dating on, you know, crack. But because there's so much information, you got to try to. Mm. Anyway, so we're going to do that, and we're going to do that. Then GD Lisa's Take Two and Call GD Lisa in the Morning segment about getting ready for our spring gardens. Speaking of local, I mean local in your backyard, local, right? And then today's interview segment is going to be Megan, and Megan also I think is bringing one of her writers,
reporter Kara Townsend.
Reporter, yeah. Yes. Excellent. And they're going to talk about what went on, what they're featured this week in the grassroots section.
Sustainability and education.
Huge, important, another big topic that we could do for an hour or a month, right?
Educate that next generation.
Yeah. It's and what we've got going around here is really exciting. So look forward to listening to that. Okay. Now, drum roll, please. We have.
The engineer's going to love that.
That was funny. Yeah, you guys are good. I gotta have like all you guys.
That was without a drum.
I know, but we've launched our Why Should We Care campaign, which is a really fun crowdfunding campaign with a group called We Did It, and we're doing it. But we really, really, really need your help. $5. You only have to, like, you know, cough up $5.
Although 35 would be better.
1,000 would be fine. But we have really fun giveaways.
We do.
For those that donate. But we're really looking to raise a little money to produce these fun web video series. If you like what you hear here, wait till you see us.
Here.
wait till you see us in live action. We are really silly, but we're really trying to do these short 2 to 3 minute web episodes to help highlight things like bottled water and why we shouldn't drink bottled water, and really make it very clear why should we care about plastic bottles, right? Well, I'll tell you why I should care.
And how do people give? Through the Green Diva website? Or?
Good question.
I'm just so curious.
If you go to thegreendivas.com, T-H-E, greendivas.com, on the right side, there's a little button, and it says, you know, be part of the solution. Click on that, and okay. Anyway, so we really, could use help. We've started to, we have, I think, like 18 believers. That's what they call the folks who donate are believers. And we need, you know, a few hundred more.
So what we can do is people can donate a little if we have a lot of people doing it.
Yeah,
so we
everybody.
Encourage you to please go on, see what we're talking about, make a donation, and you can earn things like some of those seed bombs that we've talked about, and G2 Organic Moisturizing Candle, which, by the way, is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it really
is. It's a candle that, as it burns down, it produces this moisturizer. So it's not a single-purpose product. You get to use the candle after it's been burned down as moisturizer for your skin. It's all natural and it's
warm
all,
and it's and luscious.
Oh, by the way, luscious.
Yeah, Paul's really excited about this.
Or you can earn the IMAX self-solar powered radio so that you can listen to the Green Diva Radio Show wherever you
Off
are.
Grid. How cool is that?
And so there's others. So you could be part of the productions that we do. You could actually participate either by giving us ideas or by actually being a character on one of our videos.
Yeah.
A character. Is that how we describe?
A character.
That's how I think of myself from time to time.
I've been called a character many times.
I've been called worse.
In the most positive way, right? So
please check in on it. TheGreenDivas.com. Click on the right-hand side and share it with everybody that you can and ask them to participate.
Look, if everybody gave, you know, $5, we'd be golden because we know there's lots of you out there paying
Although
attention.
Although 35 or more will give you an opportunity to get one of these goodies.
She's
Lisa's
good.
Lisa's setting the bar, isn't she?
Hey, why not? You know.
Absolutely.
Why not? So our G2 Organics giveaway, you know, we're getting more and more people participating and it's helping.
And what you need to do for that is go on our Facebook, like us, mention G2 Organics, and be in the drawing for a scrumptious basket of goodies.
Woohoo! Now, random news. We got a couple of minutes. Anything interesting in the news other than the grassroots, which we'll get to?
But, well, there is no news other than grassroots.
I know. Silly. Silly me. No, there was something Lisa picked up on this week.
I read this article, and I didn't get too far into it because I got kind of grossed out. But, you know, we talk about stem cell and genetically modifying things and blah, blah, blah. There's meat being grown from stem cells, from fecal matter.
Yeah, that's really disturbing.
Isn't it?
What's up with that?
I have never heard of that.
I just read it recently.
Now, that's not connected to the green slime going into the kids' lunches.
Pink slime.
The pink slime.
Pink slime.
Yeah, green slime.
Yes. Yes.
We're kind of...
I actually posted that to my Facebook page. I was so disturbed by the pink slime or the processing.
Oh, I did too.
Processing the meat that fast food restaurants won't take. Processing it with ammonia to kill the E. coli.
But you've seen the pictures.
Things.
It looks like this gorgeous strawberry mousse. Have you seen it?
It does look like beautiful strawberry mousse. And it's
cow mousse.
What?
Anyway, I'm sorry. You were going on about stem cells.
You know, there really isn't much more to say about that, except that, my God,
who thought that was a good idea?
Quick burger for lunch?
Scientists who don't get out much.
Do they eat this stuff?
Well,
no, they
apparently.
Feed it to kids in schools.
Yeah, right.
I think that's the most disturbing part, that it's the USDA that's endorsing this and facilitating this. And they're asking it for is citizen voices to check in and say, this is not good.
No, okay. What's wrong with this picture?
This citizen here says, no, thank you. No,
exactly.
Thank you.
Well, you know, there is this argument, and we talk all the time about genetically modified foods in all aspects. And there is the argument that we're trying to feed the world that's hungry. But where do you draw the line?
I know.
Yikes.
Grow some stuff in your backyard. That
well,
helps.
On a better note,
okay,
there's,
got, like,
there's a parade in Morristown today. Isn't
and it's
there?
All about green, I believe.
I think I saw a leprechaun in the building this morning.
Green.
All right. Well, let's go on break.
This...
And we have so much more fun in store for you. So please stay tuned.
Good morning.
What the heck happened to you last night?
Oh, it's just my old mattress. You know, I want one of those memory foam mattresses, but they're so toxic. I really can't go there.
You have to try Essentia. They're the only company making outrageously comfortable, all-natural foam mattresses. You know, like Tempur-Pedic, but healthier.
Really? Essentia?
Really. And I hear they're giving away $300 with the purchase of any mattress if you mention the Green Divas radio show. Find a store near you at myessentia.com.
Hi, I'm Jessica Alba from The Honest Company, and you are listening to Green Diva.
Now, more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Paul.
As Lisa sneezes, welcome back.
Sorry.
I don't think we heard that. That was pretty clever. You did that well.
Well, you mastered it well, Megan, by announcing it.
By announcing it, yeah. I know. Yeah. I really like the the queen
She's
of...
calling all the shots today. Everybody be careful.
I know. I'm really...
No secrets.
No secrets left unturned. So I want to give a shout out to our listener, Wendy Long, who's listening from Vermont.
Wow. Hey, Wendy.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. Yeah. See, because you can listen, you can stream. So, you know, whether you're in our area or not.
Well, we've certainly seen a lot of great initiatives coming out of Vermont. So
really?
Oh, yes.
Bring some of that back here.
Right.
Isn't it someone, we talked to someone recently, Vermont had enacted a law about keeping schools cleaner. They're using non-toxic
cleaning
solutions in
like
schools.
That.
I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I'm sorry you have to regulate.
Well, if anybody else is listening in from streaming, pop us a note on Facebook. And
we'll say hello to you, too.
Let us know you're listening. We love to hear from different folks everywhere.
All right. Well, guess what time it is? Sleeping naked is green. At least Vanessa Farquharson, who wrote the book, thought so. Using her hilarious book, we will explore and expand on some of the 366 journal entries where she shares her year-long journey of trying new ways of being green on a daily basis. This segment is brought to you by Essentia, the only natural memory foam mattress in the world, myessentia.com, and of course, the Green Divas radio show. All right. So this week we're talking about no more bottled water. And there's a lot of good reasons why. So I'm just going to kind of just start diving right in. The U.S. is the largest consumer market for bottled water in the world, followed by Mexico, China, and Brazil. In 2008, U.S. bottled water sales topped 8.6 billion gallons. That's a lot of water, which represented 28.9% of the U.S. liquid beverage market. Wow. Does that include booze? I don't know. The average American drinks 21 gallons of bottled water per year. Well,
that's a lot of trips to the bathroom.
How much water is wasted there.
Yeah. According to MSNBC, the use of water bottles increased dramatically from it was 3.3 billion sold in 1997 to 15 billion in 2002. Wow. Oh, we are having an obsession with bottled water, aren't we?
Yes. And what's it driven by?
Yeah, right. National Geographic estimates that 17 million gallons of crude oil is used on an annual basis to produce plastic bottles. Oh, dear. So here, this was a really cool little illustration of thinking of how much oil goes into producing that one bottle. If you fill the water bottle a quarter of the way with a fluid, this is how much oil is used to manufacture that one bottle.
Oh, that's criminal.
Right? That's, well, you know, hey, we're trying to become oil independent and we're, you know, drinking bottled water. It doesn't seem to be helping. This amount of oil is enough to fuel approximately a million cars for a year.
Ooh!
It is estimated by the Container Recycling Institute and ReusableBags.com that 22 billion water bottles end up in the landfills every year. And here's an interesting fact that I found on National Geographic Kids, that only one in six plastic bottles makes it to the recycling bin.
That's one of the big challenges, yeah.
I think so, right?
Because when we go back to that quarter of a bottle of oil to make that virgin bottle, all that much more important that we recycle and get particularly the PET back in the system.
Yeah.
It takes a lot less energy to make a bottle from a bottle than it does to start from scratch.
See, like plastic is one of those resources. I mean, it is a resource. We can't live without it now. But we've got to get smart about how we use it and reuse it, right?
Absolutely.
Recycling plastic bottles saves energy. According to somebody, recycling only one plastic bottle saves the same amount of energy as powering a 60-watt light bulb for 6 hours.
Hmm.
I don't know. I like all those little analogies. Sometimes it makes it, you know, illustrates it, makes it more like, oh, wow, that's a lot. That seems like a lot to me. Here's
how easy it is to have an effect on that.
Right. Good ideas, right? And you mentioned RPET, which stands for Recycled Polyethylene Terephthalate. I should have practiced that one. And, of course, that's a member of the polyester
family.
My favorite green bag, which is in the other room right now, is from a company called GreenSmart. And they use RPET to make fabrics for all kinds of things. But I was so surprised how soft and pliable and nice the material was. But it's polyester.
Yeah, actually, Patagonia does a good percentage of their fleece-type apparel.
They had a really funny campaign a few years ago about recycling underwear.
Mm.
Anyway, so...
That loses something on the radio.
I know, right? Another good idea. Get a stainless steel or glass reusable water bottle. And I will list all this stuff on thegreendivas.com under the Sleeping Naked is Green links and resources for this week. Last month, the Grand Canyon National Park Service approved a plan that eliminates the sale of bottled water.
You're here.
Wow. I think that's really huge.
But they will be putting in filling stations
so you can reuse your
bottle. And
you bring your reusable water bottle in and you are golden. So I think that is something other parks and communities can start thinking about. Anyway, we've done this. Please go to thegreendivas.com to learn more.
With lots of resources.
Well, that was fun. Remember to tune in to the Green Divas radio show next week to hear another installment of Sleeping Naked is Green, based on the book by Vanessa Farquharson. This segment was sponsored by Essentia, the outrageously comfortable natural memory foam mattress, so you can sleep green and healthy. Find out more at myessentia.com.
So how are we doing on time?
All right.
There's still like three things that I want to mention about bottled water. Number one is the quality of water. You know, they've been testing.
Yeah.
If you go to EWG, which is Environmental Working Group, they've done some testing on water, and the bottled water that you buy is often not any better and often less better than water right out of the tap. So that's a whole nother subject.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of great films out there. Tapped, Flow, and if you're looking for a shorter segment on The Story of Stuff has the story of bottled water, which is quite well
done. I just watched that recently, and I was really shocked at how the bottled water companies have really
devastated the environment and whole communities.
Yeah. Well, speaking just to that, in Sarasota, we have a good friend who has a place in Sarasota, and she says that her well is dry because Tropicana is drawing so much water from the region. And then, of course, they're scaring everybody into needing to drink bottled water, and they're turning around and selling people their water back in plastic bottles. So,
well, luckily for us here in New Jersey, we don't need bottled water. We have the Highlands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do. Oh, boy, that's a whole nother topic we're going to get into. And I bet Megan is really the other Megan. The other Green Diva Meg, Green Diva Meg 2, GD2, GDM2. I don't know. We'll figure
grassroots
out.
Grassroots Meg.
Grassroots Meg.
I like Grassroots Meg.
That's
GR
the one.
Meg.
Yeah. That's awesome. And, you know, they're using these plastic bottles in developing countries that don't have electricity in these little shanty villages where they poke a hole in the ceiling. You know, there'll be 9 people living in a room with no windows, and they'll poke holes in the ceiling, and it's usually a sunny climate. Fill a plastic bottle with water and place it into, and it spreads light out, and it's changing.
It's pretty amazing.
It's changing their world.
Yeah.
In terms of what they can do.
I have to refine that post and put it on our Facebook again, because I posted that once and it was so stunning how simple and how life-changing it can be for people.
Without electricity.
Yeah.
And needing light in their homes.
It's daytime, you know? Hey. All right. Green Diva Lisa's Take 2 and Call GD Lisa in the Morning segment. We're going to talk about some gardening stuff.
Well, it's that time of year, and it's earlier in some other regions than usual. So I thought I would talk about composting and getting the garden ready. And if you haven't started composting, it's not too late. It might be too late to get all of your compost in for this year's garden, although in terms of when you first plant it. But there's time. It's not never too late to start composting. And I will have on our home, our website, thegreendivas.com, a post about all the information that you can do to learn how to compost if you're not already doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Your compost will be ready. The more you turn it, and the more you balance all the ingredients that need to go into your compost. So that's another thing that you can read about on the post.
And by the way, composting is a great way to reduce your garbage output. When I started composting, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't realize how much food scraps I throw out that I could be, you know, using and getting a little more out of it, you know.
Well, and it's the wettest, heaviest portion of your trash. So there's an economic impact on the municipality.
Wow.
Or if you're paying, pay as you throw. There are a number of other
impacts. Never even thought
impacts.
Of that. Yeah.
And there's some great resources out there. I guess you can get through the website. But
yep,
the compost lasagna, kind of alternating your brown and greens. And
never heard it put that
yeah,
way.
You kind of use your colors and get the grasses and the leaves.
Yum. And then you add
the
worms
foods.
In between. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the things we've also learned, that while those tumbler-type composters are really nice for keeping things moving.
If you can move it, yeah.
Yeah. The challenge is that you take away some of nature's own contributions if you're not
yes.
doing it right on the ground, where the worms can come up and become part of the process. And the worm casings add just an incredible nutrition.
And that's a polite way of saying worm poo.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And I do a whole little section on my blog, on the blog posting about growing your own worm farm, as a matter of fact. And that's
She gets pretty into the whole worm thing.
I do. I had a worm farm, and my friends used to come over and dig soil out of my garden and take it back to theirs and grow their own. And there's different ways of doing that, because some people like do the same thing. They grow worms in a bin with their compost. I actually did it right in my garden and right in my compost pile. So when I moved the soil from the compost into the garden, it would take the worms with it. And I had a plethora of worms in, is that it? A group of worms.
It takes
worm
a
community. Yeah, it's all about community.
And I also found this great Care2 post about 80 plus things that can go into your compost, some of which I hadn't even thought of. And I'm you know, pretty happy to put stuff in. One of which was dryer lint. I didn't think that dryer lint would be a good thing to put necessarily.
Does it depend on like what kind of crap you put? I mean, like I use all clean, non-toxic cleaning, you know,
well, of course,
detergent and all that stuff.
Of course,
I don't know.
Would make sense if you have a lot of
I'm trying
toxic
to have organic
clothing
soil,
that you're washing, then that might not be such a good idea. But if you have good healthy cottons and
good healthy
organic.
Lint.
Healthy
lint.
Oh, and you know, you talked about all the organic, the browns and other things that you have. If you don't have a big yard and you don't collect leaves and grass clippings and things like that, you can often go to your local municipality to get things that have been shredded up leaves and sticks and that sort of thing. Or a lot of the tree trimming companies will have free compostable materials that you can mix in. Anyway, there's so many things that you can do.
I just wanted to say that in talking about municipalities and composting, more and more municipalities are creating townwide composting, because a lot of times people don't mm-hmm. garden necessarily. But you can still compost your food to the point where it's, you know,
there's
usable to other people. Yeah,
there's municipalities and private companies where they deliver you a bucket,
yeah,
and you fill your bucket up with your compost and you stick it outside your door and they come and pick it up, just like
Starbucks often has a bin that you know that's free for somebody to take
coffee
of their
grounds.
Coffee grounds.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a great compost.
Coffee grounds are great. One of the things I used to do is if I wanted to add to my soil and I was a little late, I used to go to the zoo and pick up llama poo, which is not so high in nitrogen that it would burn your garden up. So you can put it in at the last minute or maybe in mid-season if you don't have enough compost.
You are a a dedicated gardener.
I am.
Listen, I just want to mention a friend that I met recently, Christy Rosendahl, and she's got this fabulous app. Okay, it's an app, guys, called Smart Gardener. If you go to smartgardener.com and you plug it in, you can use it on your smartphone or obviously a computer, but it's all about garden planning. But she does, it's being used a lot for community gardens. And it's got, you know, the whole app thing for planning the garden itself, but also for your region and all kinds of tips and resources. It's actually really smart.
I'd also like to mention, if you're new at gardening, and especially organic gardening, a lot of times you can volunteer, or local gardening. A lot of times you can volunteer at local farms, and they'll take you in like an internship where they'll
absolutely
teach you, which is something I'm thinking about doing this year because
Jesse did it at Cross Estate Gardens. Mm-hmm. Our Silent Jesse did that. Cross Estate Gardens right here.
The National Historic Park.
Love that place. So I'll turn you on to that. So we got a couple of minutes here, and I think, Lisa, thank you. I have to cut you off. I know you have so much more to talk about.
And hardly.
But we have Ben calling in because Paul was going to talk a little bit about.
Yeah, we've got the upcoming Morris County Sunday Supper series that
Grassroots is part of.
I think a great site. We can loop Ben in here.
Okay. Hey, Ben, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Hey, Ben.
So
morning, Ben.
We just offer. Yes, we've got two Megans, Kara, Lisa, and Green Dude Paul here. So we were going to change all of our names to Megan just to make it easy for you, but...
Good morning to everyone.
So we were just segueing from... I saw an obvious segue opportunity when we were talking about gardening and farming and the increasing amounts of available farmable land and the limit of the farmers out there. And it made me think about the dinner and actually the beneficiary. So maybe we'll talk about the food and the drink and the format first, and then have you share with us what we're trying to raise awareness and funds for through the effort in this particular edition.
Absolutely. Well, as far as the food, we're just now that we're, I guess, knocking at the door of 2 weeks away. Between today and tomorrow, I'm nailing down the final logistics on coordinating the menu with all of the other chefs. So we're pulling together local sources. Sort of the center of gravity of the sourcing will be Zone 7, although I'm encouraging all chefs to pull from their own local sources as well. So the menu will start to come together for the food. And Paul, you had mentioned the drink. We've got, of course, our local craft brewers donating there.
Oh, wait. I have to mention, is that you, Megan?
That's one of them.
Yeah, me and my fiancé, Tom, have got an IPA brewing at home.
What's an IPA?
India Pale Ale.
Wow. This is exciting. Okay, I'm sorry, Ben. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. No, that's great. Yeah, it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of fantastic flavors and of course, all crafted very close to the location, so I'm excited about that. We also have some local wines. It's outside of New Jersey. This is a Finger Lakes wine. It's actually, I had forgotten, but I had it before. We served it at a very high-end event in New York for the Michelin Guide release party. That's Weimer Winery, I believe.
Weimer Winery? That's funny.
Say that after a couple of glasses.
Wait a minute. Is that like Weimer Reiners? Do they have dogs? Anyway, sorry.
And then yesterday, this was very exciting, through a mutual connection with actually an interior designer that I work with on architectural design projects. It turned out that our mixologist had created his menu and had specified a number of artisanal spirits from Philadelphia Distillery, and she happened to see it because her husband is going to be on the Highlands Dinner Club crew for the event, and noted that that's one of her current clients. So we made the connection, and I talked to him last night, the owner and the founder of the distillery, and he's very excited to be involved, and we're very excited to welcome him. So
I love how it all comes full circle,
yeah,
man.
It's really cool. So we haven't talked specifics.
To bring some of that story in.
Yeah, we're running a little short on time, Ben. So give us the specifics: where, when, and how people can buy their tickets.
March 25th at the Black Horse Tavern in Mendham, and starting off at 4 p.m. that day. We'll run till about 8 o'clock, and we have quite a stack list of attendees as far as innovators and farmers and other artisans. So I think it's going to be an exciting conversation, and we're hoping to, you know, generate some interesting content, videography, photos, maybe even connect with the Food Shed Alliance's dinner that's happening at the same time.
Yeah, and we're going to try to be there.
Dimension. Yeah,
so people can buy the Daily Record Sunday edition, I believe, tomorrow and get a lot more information on it. And the last piece before we let you go, Ben, is that we are raising money to underwrite a NOFA, Northeast Organic Farm Association, scholarship to help train Morris County farmers in sustainable agriculture techniques.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Ben, thanks for calling in again, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Ben.
Take care, Ben.
Wow.
Bye.
All right. Oh, I just cut him off. Nice. Anyway, hopefully it won't take that
much. The master of the button there.
Such a wiseacre today. I need more coffee. All right.
Less.
Listen, we have going a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Kara, and I'll introduce her more formally, and we will...
Journalist extraordinaire.
Townsend, right? Kara Townsend.
Kara Townsend.
So we will, we'll be partying with Kara and Megan in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Are you participating in the local CSA? Want to know what the heck a CSA is? Stay tuned.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenaid makes these clay balls that are regionally, you know, specific seeds and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at greenaid.co. Community supported agriculture, commonly known as CSA, is a way for an individual to invest in a local farm by paying for a share of the upcoming season's crops before the bounty is harvested. Typically, as the crops start rolling in, the CSA members get weekly deliveries of whatever has been harvested that particular week. It is a great way to keep it local for sustainable farm, food, and economy. Many CSAs offer a wide variety of fruits and vegetables and even meats, and have shares available for food all year round. To find a CSA in your community, go to localharvest.org.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Have you or someone you care about gone through cancer treatments recently? Chances for survival are better than ever. But to support complete healing, call Dr. Kathy Ostroff, a certified clinical nutritionist helping post-cancer patients bring their bodies back into balance. Her highly individualized programs are based on detailed blood analysis that highlight critical imbalances. Call Dr. Ostroff at 973-822-2529. That's 973-822-2529.
Now, more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Paul.
Isn't that fun, Paul? I'm getting used to it, yes.
I know. I'm Paul again.
Welcome back to the Green Divas Radio Show. Shoo. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
Green Diva Lisa.
And Green Dude Paul.
See?
I know.
We've got to get him whipped into shape. And we've got our special.
At least I didn't call myself a diva this time.
Yeah. Guest Green Diva Megan.
Grassroots Megan.
Grassroots Megan. Okay. I'll never get this right. And we've also invited in Kara Townsend, who's a reporter for the Grassroots section and wrote particularly for this week. Hi, Kara.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. I'm so glad you made it here and found your way back into the studio.
I did.
It's a little maze. So, Megan, talk about Megan, too. That's funny calling someone Megan to their face. It's so weird.
I know.
Well, when I grew up, there weren't a lot of Megans. You know, I was like the only one. So, anyway.
You did such a good job. We had to make more.
You suck up. Tell us about this week's grassroots feature.
Well, this week I wanted to get into what our local schools are doing in terms of sustainability. It was about 2 years ago that Cool the Earth first came to Morristown schools. It's a cute little play where a polar bear and Mother Earth come together to bring a message of global warming to students.
Aww. Oh, how cute.
And it's performed by the teachers and some schools, their principals. Yeah, play the villain.
Oh, that's great.
And the kids really love it.
Oh, how fun is that?
Yeah, and that's kind of a way to kick off a message of small actions, how mm-hmm. each of the students can do small actions to really make a big difference and, you know, help the planet.
And they invite the parents to watch, too, I guess?
Well, there's somewhat.
No? Okay.
Actually, there's an action book they take home, and they take actions with the parents and family. So it does, you know, kind of affect the whole family system. But, yeah, it's a great program. And it's available to schools around the country, cooltheearth.org.
And speed up to the Slow Food Fair in Morristown this winter. I met a teacher who is starting a garden at the school. He was building a hoop house, and I wow. just thought, I can't believe all the amazing things that are happening. So yeah. I asked Kara to go and be part of some of these things, find out what is going on in our schools in terms of sustainability. And I think she found that there's a lot happening. So
yeah, and particularly with this one teacher up in Montville, Matt Myers, he was saying that he wasn't trying to teach sustainability as a concept, but more show kids what it meant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting their hands dirty, getting outside and composting. And, you know, kids were saying, you know, I used to think it was kind of gross, but it's really neat. It's really neat to get out there and see what you can do. You know, they loved eating the food right from where they were growing it.
Yeah.
So they're making all these connections,
yeah.
Which are really important.
Well, it's so huge because, you know, when I grew up, it was sort of like I thought, like, you know, lettuce came in a little plastic, you know, bang.
It's so common. So many
or
kids
you know what I mean.
Do think that food comes from a grocery store, and that's right. where it starts. So obviously there's a big gap.
I grew out of that, but I think it's so great to get kids really connected to, and growing their own food is so exciting. If you've ever gardened with a kid, how exciting that is when they get to eat their own lettuce or whatever.
And they're wanting to take it home and share it with their parents and say, hey, Mom and Dad, you know, like, I had Swiss chard for the first time. Can we have that for dinner? And the parents are saying, what? Yeah. You know, that's awesome.
What is that?
Yeah. And even, you know, the educators are saying that, you know, the kids are really driving this through the Cool the Earth actions and through the gardening. You know, they're taking this home and starting to introduce these things in their houses and really kind of talking about, you know, with their parents about the amount of energy they're using at their house, the waste they're producing at their house. And so it's kind of almost creating a shift in some families because, you know, these six-year-old kids are really starting to get excited about it.
That is – what a great age, too, to really get lit up about this stuff.
It is. Well, any age with kids. I worked with high school kids. I ran a culinary program out in Luling, Texas, which was in the middle of nowhere. And there was – they had – six farm markets in their town, and all the kids that we worked with, none of them had ever shopped there. They'd all gone to the local grocery store with their mom. And so we opened up their world. We took them to a local organic farm where they bought chicken and for dinner. And it's amazing, that opening, that awakening.
One of the great examples is the Urban Farm at Lafayette. It in the backyard of the Lafayette Learning Center here in Morristown. It's a complete farm. There's chickens there.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, it's a third of an acre that pumps out about 3,000 pounds of produce. The Grow It Green Morristown organization sells some of it below market to the underserved community that surrounds it. It has it on the menu at the high school, which is great that we've got locally grown foods being served to young people.
Really?
And I think last year they donated nearly 2,000 pounds of food to the Interfaith Food Pantry so that the families that are struggling to make ends meet aren't being given the choice of only canned, processed,
high carb.
Yeah, less healthy food. They're getting
fresh.
Well,
that's such a huge issue because, you know, as we all start to learn more and more about our local farms and our farmers markets, there are still many communities that don't really have access to this.
Food deserts, they call them.
Food deserts. I never thought of that, but yeah, you're right. So there are organizations like Wholesome Wave that are making, you know, and also making food stamps applicable to a lot of these things so that
they have certificates that go along with food stamps so people can get organic, locally grown vegetables and produce when they're on food stamps.
So what else did you find going on? Other, you know, I mean, because there's so much we could talk about with just the food, but how they're working this into curriculum and other things.
Sure. I took a trip to a Unity Charter School where they start the day off with an all-school assembly. So it's a way for them to start off the day on a positive note to get the kids, you know, that sense of community. Yeah. And then they break into you know, small learning groups where there was a group of second and third graders who they all were, it was really sweet. They were holding hands and closed their eyes and they start with deep breaths in and out just to kind of calm. And if, you know, second and third graders at the beginning of the day can normally just be real rowdy.
Yeah.
And they were just focused and they sent a, you know, the teacher said to send a positive thought around. And then they, you know, were reading the Lorax to some kindergartners.
Now there's a controversy.
but I could see there that it was, you know, sustainability is woven into the curriculum and more than just science.
Right.
And so they, that day they had a rapper there, Gus Gauntlet from Brooklyn.
Wow.
And he was helping the kids compose a hip hop song about Mother Nature. So all of the kids were rotating into work with him. And, you know, he talked about the history of hip hop and how it came from, you know, the South Bronx. So he was weaving the history lessons in there.
Wow.
And so it was kind of an all encompassing project that they were doing.
Yeah, Gus is with Arts by the People. They're a wonderful organization, and they'll be sending some students that have been mentored in the arts to perform at the Earth Day event we've talked about.
Oh, how exciting. Yeah, the Earth Day extravaganza. Yeah.
Should we mention the Earth Day event?
Well, in a few minutes. Now that we have mentioned it, you have to listen to the rest of the show.
We'll just tease them. There's so many ways to build the, you know, and the Cloud Institute, I'm sure you've heard of the Cloud Institute, mm-hmm. and they've got some specific ways of helping any school.
Well, yeah, and I think that regardless of where you're located listening to the program, schools are doing a lot of things. And accessing this great story that Kara wrote for Grassroots this week highlights what Fairleigh Dickinson University is doing as well to try and help teachers understand that sustainability doesn't have to be another layer that they put something else to add to their already full plates, that they can use the core standards and the objectives of comprehension and recall with students using their typical English, science, mathematics applications.
And social studies.
Absolutely. Really fun, yeah. So Kara did a great job of framing that in the article, and certainly people can access that online from anywhere in the world.
And at dailyrecord.com/grassroots.
There you go. Thank you.
And we'll have all the websites that we talk about will be on our website post about this show at thegreendivas.com.
She's good at that.
She's done it before.
So now
my first rodeo.
You also and I'm not sure it was in Kara's article, but there was also talk about Rutgers and some of the things Rutgers is doing.
Yes, I actually was down at the Eco Complex in Bordentown earlier this winter, and they are actually on an active landfill, and so they're using that landfill to run a greenhouse where they have local growers. They use the methane gas there. So everything there is grown hydroponically. Local growers who might not have access to a greenhouse, because if you're going to construct one, that can, you know, put you into a huge amount of debt. So they're able to use that space and get their business up and running, and at the same time are able to work with professors there who are doing research. There was an orchid grower who I spoke with who, you know, had a professor that would come and consult on disease control and would inspect the plants. So it's a really nice place where you have the academic community, you have local growers, and people in industry also there doing research.
Really? So it's like this intersection of all the different sectors.
Right.
Growing and learning together.
One of my favorite spots in the weekly Grassroots section is the I Believe segment, which I guess
I've written one.
I think Green Diva Meg was the first to launch that segment.
Well, and this week it was written by a third grader that'll just blow you away.
She was adorable.
She
was the one that made the comment about composting, how she thought it was gross and then really grew to realize its value.
She's a good writer for third
grade. She's a very good writer.
Yes, she was.
And the Unity Charter School is a public school of choice here in the Morris School District and has been teaching from a sustainability curriculum for 13 or 14 years, way ahead of the curve.
You cannot talk about sustainable living in Morris County without really thinking about Unity Charter School and what they're doing to raise a bunch of really very community-minded.
Raising our future.
Yeah. And anything, we have like 1 minute left. Anything else you want to talk about in this section?
Oh, nothing like the old silence on radio. Have we grabbed you there? Aww. So it, for those people that live in the Morris County region, it's Thursday in the paper.
Yeah.
And we did mention tomorrow the special article on the upcoming dinner series.
Yes, which our next grassroots will be looking at how what some of the local restaurants are doing to actually incorporate local produce into their menus.
Yeah, that's good. Highlight them so that the other ones start
Absolutely.
To like, get on board, man.
Well, I don't think
right.
we mentioned this previously about the dinner, at least today, that hosting it at the Black Horse Tavern in Mendham, they're celebrating their 270th anniversary, which is
amazing
when you stand in that building and realize that it's been there going on three centuries.
Yeah.
And they have the Villa Enterprises folks who manage that as part of their full service division have switched over to a
local
fresh, seasonal, because like many of us, we think the farm to table
you
moniker
guys had
has
to, had to work that
bit.
Out. I can tell. It was almost hysteria.
We talked once in a while.
Aww.
And the chef there, Stephen DeMarco, who's the executive chef for Villa, so he oversees also the office locations, George and Martha's in Morristown. He was saying that their hope is to have, by the end of the year, gardens where they are growing their own produce.
Well, that's
And they talked about the use of actually milk crates that are mobile.
Yeah, movable gardens.
Movable gardens.
Wow.
And growing their own herbs, you know, right in the back of Black Horse. So really having it, you know, literally grown right there.
So you can feel so good as, you know, someone who walks into the restaurant and get a good, healthy meal.
Yeah, it's fresh. It's local. Wow.
Yeah, George and Martha's.
And, oh, by the way, delicious.
Yeah, right.
George and Martha's is their Morristown location. They'll be switching their menu over as well sometime between St. Patrick's Day and Earth Day, and they'll be with us on April 22nd for our big Earth Day experience.
Experience, yeah. I called it extravaganza.
Well, it's that too.
That too.
I like the experience thing because that's what we're all sort of looking for.
So tell us a little bit about what's happening with
We're really excited that finally Earth Day, you know, after so many years, falls on a weekend. So we get a Sunday on April 22nd. We are taking over one of the greenest buildings in New Jersey. It's the 14 Maple Avenue office building built by the Morristown Parking Authority with incredible investment and support by the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation to bring some of the wonderful sustainable design elements to it. But we're actually hosting the event in the parking garage. It's a 7-level, 800-car solar and geothermal-powered complex.
Wow.
And we'll be doing different levels of activities, arts and music, Sustainable Living Expo, the Daily Record, Grassroots is helping us sponsor a townwide garage sale to help people kind of recycle
Love
and
that.
Repurpose and reuse things.
Solar garage sale.
And a garage sale in a solar garage. and hybrid and electric auto show. So it's really going to be a great day, and people can go on to sustainablemorristown.org to get more information.
I love the idea that we'll be outside, and it doesn't matter what the weather is. So,
and I shouldn't overlook that the Green Divas and WMTR are helping us sponsor the Sustainable Expo.
Yeah.
And, so we'll be there. You can come out and meet the Green Divas in person and see that they're just as beautiful in person as they are on the radio.
He is really sucking up today. I love him.
Like
Thank
that.
You, Paul. You've got security here. No problem. Yeah, no, that's going to be a lot of fun.
And tell us again where we can find that information.
SustainableMorristown.org.
Awesome. And we'll, of course, have that on our website, thegreendivas.com.
Now, so I just want to thank so much for Megan for coming in today.
Grassroots Megan, that is.
I know. I'm like all befuddled. There's too many Megans, and I don't know, you know. But she is a Green Diva from the Grassroots section, Megan with an H.
Thanks for having me, Green Diva Meg.
And we will be hearing from Megan or someone, you know, on her staff about what's going on every week now.
Yeah, it's going to be a regular segment. We're very excited about that.
And thank you for coming in, Kara. You've done
a great job.
I'm just loving what you're both doing, and I appreciate it because it's helping us keep up to date and also giving ideas for other communities too.
Since we're on the radio, I have to talk about how adorable Kara looks. She's got this great green sweater for the parade today, I presume.
St. Patrick's Day parade in town.
She's got
a great wool herringbone hat on, which is very Irish looking, and some dashing boots.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Like a little...
I want those boots.
I've lost total control of this women's show.
I know. She's like a little leprechaun. Well, I hope everybody has a wonderful Green Week. Please check us out at thegreendivas.com. Oh, let me put a last-minute plug in for our We Did It fundraising campaign. We really need your help. So you can go to wedidit.fundraising.org. I think it's We Did It. Hold on.
You can go on to the Green Divas website.
Yes, go on to thegreendivas.com. There's a little icon on the right. Be part of the experience. Click on, participate, share. Let's make it viral so everybody can participate in a little way if there's a lot of us.
Okay. Have a great Green Week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.